Rabbi Nachum Neria told me the following thought this afternoon, and I liked it so much I wanted to share it with you guys. We have a tractate Sota, right? So the tractate discusses what happens if a husband suspects his wife of being unfaithful. So the tractate is really discussing the destruction of a Jewish home. The tractate is discussing where the most basic, elementary faith that has to be between a couple is gone. And where does the husband take his wife when he's suspecting something? To the temple, right? So the temple represents a certain bond between Am Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam, a bond that permeates the home. It's not only this abstract connection. When there's a problem in the home, we go to the temple. What is the conclusion of Tractate Sota? The last Mishnayot discuss what happened since the destruction of the temple. The Mishnayot discuss, we lost humility, the fruits lost their taste, the sky lost its color, the Talmud, the Mishnah, and then the Talmud discusses the descending level of the sages. So it makes perfect sense now. The tractate begins with the destruction of the home, and it shows you the evolvement to the destruction of the temple. You have Tractate Ksubos. What is Tractate Ksubos? The building of the Jewish home. How does Tractate Ksubos end? With the Mishnah about how a husband could tell his wife, I want to ascend to Israel, to Jerusalem. And a wife can tell her husband, I want to ascend to Israel or Jerusalem. That halacha is the final Mishnah of Ksubos. So Tractate Ksubos, which deals with the building of the Jewish home, concludes with the ascension to Eretz Yisrael and ultimately to Jerusalem. Meaning that's again an integral part of the Jewish home. And the final punchline is not his own. He quoted it in the name of Tzadok HaKohen. Where does the Talmud discuss the stories of the destruction of the temple? In the middle of Tractate Gittin. When we discuss the actual breaking of the home, so there the Talmud discusses the destruction of the temple. And it's interesting that at the end of Tractate Gittin, so the Talmud tells us that when a person divorces his wife, even the altar sheds tears. The Talmud concludes with the punchline that again connects us with the temple. So as we're learning these Agadot HaTalmud, the stories of the destruction, we have to appreciate a little bit where we stand in all of this. Our role in all of this. What did the temple represent? Its influence in everyone's lives and everyone's homes. When we think about the temple, sometimes we think about something far out. Kohanim dressed in weird garments, bringing sacrifices we're unaccustomed to. But in fact, the temple was the root of our connection to Hashem. If we stop and think for a minute, what it means to have v'shachanti b'tocham, I will live in their midst. The Talmud quotes a story that there was a young rabbi who was engaged to marry a girl. So they agreed the engagement would last 12 years. He'd learn 12 years and then they'd get married. And then they met a second time, and he said, 6 years. And then they met another time, 3 years, and then they met another time, and he said, I want to get married now. So he was embarrassed. What would his father say? He's supposed to learn for 12 years, and he wants to get married now. And his father said, what are you getting embarrassed about? This is the way their Ribbono Shel Olam was. When he took us out of Egypt, he discussed a long journey. We're still going to come. We're still going to build. And as it evolved, finally God says, now, go build. I want to be in your midst. Meaning, love is supposed to bring us closer quickly. It's normal. When you got to know your Talmud better, so you wanted it more quickly. So the Beit HaMikdash represents that connection, that resolution. Just as couples find their resolution there, individuals found their resolutions there. You had a place of forgiveness. If we think about it for a minute, we all have issues. And One of our issues is that we don't know how to resolve our issues. Very often you come to Rosh Hashanah and you say, last year I was thinking the same thoughts. Last year I was dealing with the same issues. How's this year going to be different? And in the temple you had not only the capacity to bring a sacrifice, but you also had the sages there. You had access to a source of Torah, a wellspring of Torah. People would walk away from the temple rejuvenated, not only because of the feeling, I dealt with my sin, I brought my sacrifice. But the temple was supposed to be an event, the ascension to the temple was an event of reconnection. We're supposed to have that every Shmona Esrei. And that's why we conclude the Shmona Esrei, that we wait, we long for the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Meaning there's a part of us that's missing. And if we really want to understand what's missing, maybe we have to go back to Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, we blow shofar, a straight blast, broken blasts, and a straight blast, right? And the straight blast, many write, Rav Kook among them, that the first straight blast, well, straight blast is how you blow out of happiness. The broken blast represents the breaking, the destruction. And then you have another straight blast. So the world begins, and a person's life begins, with a certain happiness. You begin with that straight blast. And the reason why we mourn when something's destroyed is because we're aware that something better could exist. I heard an interesting conversation this week. A young man with a physical handicap was talking to someone who was diagnosed with cancer. And the young man with the handicap turns to the older person and says, I want you to know you're a brave man, the way you're dealing with this. And the older person looks back at him and says, me, brave? I'm dealing with this now. You've been dealing with your challenges your whole life. So I thought about the conversation. It struck me. I could really hear what the young man was saying, because what he was saying was, this is the only life I've known. I haven't had a choice. I look around, I see other people different, but this is what I've known. But you had a life one way, and I have to deal with life a totally different way. And to deal with that is very different. Our blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah represents, I knew a life of good. We had a life with the temple. We had a life, be it in Gan Eden. There was an element of perfection in life. And then comes the breaking. Everyone has that in their life. Things that suddenly, wait a second, things are falling apart. But then there's the final blast. Zichonot, right? Truot, shofarot malchuyot, right? So you have the zichonot, you have what was, you have the Malchuyot, Zichonot, Malchuyot. I got it out of order. Malchuyot, Zichonot, Shofarot. That's it. So you have what was, you have what is, you have what will be. You end with that hope. We also end Tisha B'Av with hope. And we should end our tefillah with hope. Meaning our tefillah really should end. The person should come out of tefillah where he began by recognizing his relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. He went into his issues in life and he concludes with hope. He concludes with V'techezena. I look forward to seeing. V'techezena inenu. Yerushalayim represents both. Yerushalayim is eternal, right? V'anetzach zu Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim represents constant hope. That's David HaMelech. He's never knocked down. Every time he's knocked down, he gets back up. It's not that he doesn't have his falls. It's that he never stays down. Keeps getting back up. Keeps getting back up. Tomorrow will be better. I'm going to make it better. He doesn't give up on himself. And he doesn't give up on the future. And he doesn't give up on Am Yisrael. And he doesn't give up on our relationship with Hashem. Doesn't give up. And that's Yerushalayim. And when we mourn the destruction, we mourn that strength that we had, that connection that we have. Tzioni doresh en la. Chazal say, michlal de bayit risha. Yes, we are supposed to yearn for Zion. And the problem is that we don't. We're each in our own bubble. There's that famous story about a woman who married off her four daughters after much troubles, and her husband finally found a job, And one day she's walking around the city and she hears yelling. So she turns to her husband and says, what's going on? So her husband says, they say the Mashiach came. So she says, now? Who needs him now? Where was he when you couldn't find a job? Where was he when we couldn't marry off our kids? Now life's fine. What do I need Mashiach for? Many of us have that feeling somewhere inside of us. You know, I need Mashiach at certain junctures in my life, but otherwise, leave me alone. Things are pretty good. Or fix what's wrong. But no, there's a whole different life. There's a whole different connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam, which exists with the Beit HaMikdash. And what we're going to learn, the stories of the destruction, are supposed to arouse in us an understanding. What happened there? And the Yesod V'Shoresh HaAvodah says an interesting thing. He says, there are two levels of mourning when we think about the destruction of Jerusalem. One level is, you just hear about the sheer cruelty of what went on there. It's supposed to move a person. Look what happened to us. Rav Yitzchak Neria told a story today that last year on Tisha B'Av, he got up early to go to the Kotel. He wanted to make Vasikin. So he was walking through that marketplace, which is usually frequented by Arabs. And as he's walking early in the morning to get to the Kotel, so a young Arab kid walks by and spits at him in the face and then runs away. So he stood there for a minute and he thought to himself, he didn't spit at me. He spat at Am Yisrael. He doesn't know me. He has no issue with me. This is an issue with Klal Yisrael. This is Am Yisrael he spat at. When we look at the temple, we have to see that that's a representation of the Ribbono Shel Olam on earth, and that's a representation of Am Yisrael. That's the representation of our connection. We have certain things that represent our connection. The Torah, right? That's our connection. That's one of the reasons they always wanted to burn it. And the Beit HaMikdash. Those are two representations. And when we look up there and we see what's going on, and the defilement and the disgrace and the way the Temple Mount is treated, the way we're treated, we have to see what's being said to Am Yisrael, what's being said to Ribbono Shel Olam, and what's being said to our connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And so there's supposed to be a constant yearning to reconnect. Chazal say we're supposed to view ourselves as a wife whose husband has gone away, he's far away, but he's still coming back, and she keeps saying, I'm waiting for him. But over the years, maybe she gets used to being away. There was once a couple where the wife volunteered across country. They lived in New York, and she volunteered in California. So it was a critical thing she volunteered for, and she was really needed there. And her husband once said to me, you know, it's funny, I'm fully supportive. I know that she's saving lives by being there. And I know that this is a critical juncture in those people's lives, and she must be there. And I pushed her to go. But a funny thing happens. After she's away for a few months, and I spend so many months alone, I get used to the quiet at home. And when she comes back, I have to get used to the fact that there's someone else in this house. Suddenly I come home from work and she's talking to me and I'm thinking, why? And I have to remind myself, no, this is normal married life. This is good. I have to get used to it again. So we can get used to things that are really not so good for us. And that's where we are today. We have to arouse ourselves to think about the destruction because really, we've gotten used to this situation, this distant situation. We know there are things missing in our lives, but we don't really connect it to the idea that the Ribbono Shel Olam is missing in our life and our connection is missing in our life. So with those thoughts, let's turn now to some of the stories of the destruction of the temple, back to the Gemara and Gittin.